And so it was a little different order of service today, wasn't it? We started and then we did communion, and I'm going to finish off the service. And I once told the elders that maybe I should preach at the end. Then I would know how much time I have left to make this a one-hour service. I got 20 minutes. Don't worry, it won't take me that long. So, you know, this is Reformation. And I think, you know, at least once a year, we ought to recognize the fact, you know, that we're Lutheran, and there's the name Lutheran on the building outside, and so on and so forth. But some of you aren't really clear on what it means to be Lutheran. I mean, you can grow up in the Lutheran church and sometimes not exactly know what it means to be Lutheran. I understand that. Because, let's be honest, not every one of us spends every day in the catechism going over the six chief parts. Unless I'm wrong. Unless I'm wrong. What does it mean to be Lutheran? First of all, Martin Luther is not Martin Luther Jr. King. Okay? That's the number one thing I want to tell you. Because I get this a lot when I say, well, you know, Martin Luther was the reformer. Oh, the guy in the 60s? No, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about some guy that lived over 500 years ago, and by the way, was chosen to be one of the most influential individuals in the last millennium. Did you know that? Because of the fact that he worked very hard for you to have individual, religious, and really societal freedoms. He put the Bible in the common language in the hands of the people. So you would have a Bible that you could read. And he fought hard that you would get to know the gospel in any possible way. And see, people didn't have freedoms like that at one time. They were bound to the church and whatever the church said. And they were bound to the government that, in a lot of cases, was run by the church. Martin Luther changed all that, and the world changed with him. And so today, my message is up there. Freedom is a fine line. Am I free? I want you to say by the end of the message, I am free, but you understand what you're saying when you say that. So anyway, how free are you? You know, we live in America. We're the land of the free, aren't we? Aren't we? Are you free to do this? Let's be honest. Are you free? If you're doing this, guess what? You're breaking the law. And you should not be doing that, because not only that, it's a moral thing that you should not be doing this, because you could cause an accident. Are you free to do this? Well, yeah, but is this the kind of thing you should be doing because of your freedom? You see what I'm saying? You're free to do this as much as you like. Especially since you live in Wisconsin. But how free are you to do this often and a lot? You're free. You're free, right? My wife says I'm not as free as I think I am, and I'm not going to be any more freer in the days to come. You're free. You can do anything you like. You can tattoo your body any way you please. You can pierce it just as much as you like. You are free to look like this guy if you want. John 8:33 says, the Jews who had believed in Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say then that we shall be set free? Because that's what Jesus said, of course. They need to be set free. That's that whole discourse in John chapter 8. And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who is a..." Does that sound like a free person to you? I don't know your life personally. I'm not so sure I want you to know my life that personally. But there is one thing I do know between you and me. We're all slaves to sin in a variety of different ways. And you came in those doors suffering it, didn't you? You got up this morning suffering it, didn't you? How many of you slept like a baby and didn't have one issue on your mind during the entire night? How many of you lived yesterday without making a single sin? You see how it goes. We all suffer the chains that bind. So I thought I would just share with you the shackles you may have. There's a variety of them up there, as you can see. There's one of them up there that happens to be what holds me in slavery. And I didn't put it up there so I could tell you about it. It's the TV set. I have a problem with the TV set. I can walk into any room, no matter how big it is, and if there's a TV on, it's like a magnet, and it does this to me, and I can't stay away from it. I gotta see what's on. And you know what? If it's the Packer game, you might as well shoot me, because I'm done. So you try to hold a conversation with me when there's a TV on, or the Packers, and I hate to say it, but the Badgers too. You know what? I really have a problem with that. I would love to listen to every word you say, but I'm so distracted. Actually, when I go to visit somebody, then in the hospital or anywhere else where they might be and there's a TV on, I have to ask, would you please turn that off so that I can concentrate? And I'm not talking about you. We all have something. How many of you could just blow up when somebody tailgates you? Don't raise your hand, because I know there's a lot of you. We all have something, and we're bound to it, and we can't find freedom. Here's the worst one I must do. When it comes to religion, this is the worst one that enslaves us. And we suffer this as Lutherans as well. We hear it all the time. For it to be a real worship service in public, the candles have to be lit. You must do that. For it to be real communion, the way we expect it to be, you have to kneel at the railing. There are churches where you must do that. The line doesn't work, they won't allow it. Because then it's not communion. See what I'm saying? The pastor's got to wear the robe and the stole and the cross. Otherwise, he's not really our pastor and it's not really worship. I've heard this. I've heard it all. But I've heard more than that. Anytime you hear somebody say, "You must do," they're not talking about the gospel and the freedom of Christ. When somebody comes up to you and you say, "Well, you know, I'm wondering, how are you saved?" And they say, "Well, you must believe." Is that law or gospel? That's law. You must do something. Do you see what I'm saying? You hear it everywhere. How are you saved? You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ died for you. That's law. You want to share the gospel? Don't say you must. proclaim the love of Christ on the cross for their sins, proclaim the resurrection of Jesus and his love for them. But don't say, you must. Oh, you got to be a Lutheran. Really? You've just told law. It's not that I don't agree with that. It's just that you've laid down the law. And we haven't really shared the gospel. We have these shackles to you must do. We're chained to it, and we can't set ourselves free. Remember what Jesus said. There's only two masters. And you belong to one of two. It's either Jesus and the gospel, or the law and I must do. And so Luther learned from the scriptures what Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're truly my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What did Jesus teach? He taught a lot of things, but if you boil it all down and if you get down to the foundation and the real point of his teaching, he said, it is not a burden, but rather it is light. Tie myself to my yoke. And what is it? That he is going to take care of it for you. He will shed his blood, give his life on the cross to set you free from your sins. He will rise from the grave to make eternal life possible, but the Christian life as well. That was his teaching. How many times did he say it? I must die at the hands of blah, 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 and I must rise again. That was it. And when Luther learned that, he changed the world because now he knew a new freedom. Of course, at the time, the enslavement was coming from the church. Pope Leo wanted to build this great basilica in Rome for St. Peter, and he was going to get the cash to do this from the German people. Boy, if you want to really blow it, mess with Germans. Don't do it. It's never going to work. He went to the German people, and he asked for them. He did more than that. He demanded it. He said, if you want to be set free from the dead and hell and all the torments of that, they called it purgatory, you pay some money, they called it indulgences, and me as the vicar or substitute of Christ, I'll make that possible. And then all the money went to Rome to build this church. See? The exchange of cash for salvation. Does that sound like you must do? Did Martin Luther see that as a lack of the gospel? I think we get stuck in it today, don't we? We're concerned about the afterlife. We're concerned about what it takes. This morning, I want to set your hearts at ease. Jesus is your Savior. The love of God is safe and secure. The cross is real. Jesus' death there is an absolute. And so is the salvation he earned for you. And we can go back to whatever site you pick in the Jerusalem area as the tomb of Jesus. I don't care what it is. He won't be there. You're not going to find a box or bones. You're not going to find anything because he ain't there. And the reason he's not there is he loves you. And he wants you to have life and life eternal. I don't want you to doubt. Today I set you free as Jesus set you free. You are truly free. Martin Luther earned this. And then he learned something else. He gave up being bound to one thing to being bound to another. He gave up one kind of slavery which was a slavery of damnation, to another slavery, which was the slavery of salvation. Isn't that interesting? To know that none of you are really truly free the way you sometimes think. But you have a new kind of a freedom. It's a freedom of I want to. I need to. I like to. This is driving me. And this is now who I am. Martin Luther got into that, you see. As soon as he learned about Jesus and who he truly was, all of a sudden his heart went from eh to hallelujah to this. And how important this was. Because right here, this started to change the world. The German people, the people north of Germany, the people to the east and west and to God, and it started to spread. And so Martin Luther, on October 31st, the day before All Saints' Day, the day when people would have been hanging around the church, you know, when they'd go to the church door and they would look to read to see what was going in town and so on and so forth. Because the church was the center of community. They would go to the door of the church and say, what's going on that's really important now? And they would find that Luther nailed this to the wall. There were 99 different statements he made. Here's number 36. Any truly repentant Christian is free. Free of penalty and guilt without indulgences paid. He learned about Paul and how Paul began to say, I'm set free from all of the past, but now I'm a slave to Christ. Martin knew he was free. He learned, though, he was still a slave. A slave to something he loved so much. And so, of course, the church wasn't happy. The Pope wasn't happy because the money wasn't coming in. And he was getting a little bit, you know, nervous about being able to build this church in Rome. And now Martin Luther comes along and says, you know what, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And they brought Martin Luther to a place called Worms. That neat name. A place called Worms. And they brought all of his books and what he had been saying about the Pope and indulgences and all this other stuff. They laid it before him and they said, Martin Luther, did you write this stuff? He said, yeah. Do you believe it all? He says, yeah. We got to have you give that up. Recant. Martin looked. He said, show me where this stuff isn't in the scriptures, and I will. They didn't care about that. They didn't care about the scriptures. Where? Show me. They couldn't show him. And he said, then, here I stand, no matter what you say. I'm not going against my conscience, because I'm free. I'm not bound to damnation, I'm bound to salvation. And I'm not going to go against my being bound to salvation. Otherwise, my conscience will bother me. To the end, what did Jesus teach? Freedom. Freedom to be bound to the gospel. And this is how he did it. He put your chains upon his shoulders. He bore it for your well-being. That which keeps you up at night, that which is in the past that you can't seem to get rid of, the things that are going on today and even later, there they are. Are you not free? Can your life not change from being bound to this to being bound to that? It can. It happened to Martin Luther. It's happened to me and so many of you. This is what it means to truly be Lutheran, to understand bondage and freedom, and the fact that even though people are free, They must serve. And so Jesus still reigns as the one who is the shepherd over the sheep, the one who rules as one who says, "Here I am, please follow me." I wrote this up there because this is the kind of person I am. You know how I do that? You'll come and you'll tell me, "Well, here's what I think about something," and I will always tell you, "Well, did you think about this, the other side of the story? Well, think about this for a moment. Tell me how you're free." I don't care what freedom you're bringing up that's outside of Christendom. Tell me you're free, and I'll tell you how you're enslaved. Tell me how you're enslaved, and as a pastor, I will tell you how you're set free. Free to repent, free to serve, free to witness for Christ. It is a fine line to live under Christ and how He's changed you, and to understand how you're driven by Him and no longer by the world. Take that with you today, and in Christ, let all things be possible. Amen.